Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ, what we are here this morning. Thank you so much for the beautiful music. And I'm pleased to see Brother Moses here with such a beautiful harp. It's good. It's beautiful to see your wife here. Nice to see Lokahi here too. And sister from the Taka family, it's great to have you here. All of you who came here to the Puna Church, may the Lord richly bless you. Today, actually, I wanted to share with you briefly about our recent tour, which we had in 2 weeks, a few weeks ago. We actually went to Europe. We had the privilege to visit some of the European countries. And as we took off from Hilo, we flew directly to Washington, D.C., and from Washington, D.C., directly to Belgium. My brother, my oldest brother, Alex, he lives in Belgium. And he is an elder in the Seventh-day Adventist Church over there. And regardless of what we had, 25 hours flight, he said, don't worry, today is a Sabbath morning, let's go straight to the church. He said, no, it's a good time for me to go to sleep. He said, no, church, let's go to church. And we directly went to church. He said, oh, beside that, what we arrived to the church, let's go and preach. You need to share a good words from the Bible and share with us. And it's exactly what's happened. I was preaching, and the people were happy. We used a lot of good words from Hawaii, because they really need to be a little bit warmed up over there with the Hawaii aloha spirit for the God's glory. And actually, after that, we had a nice fellowship potluck. I was amazed to see what they're all over there, vegan, not even vegetarian, vegan, because they recently went for the special classes and courses over there in the West Ukraine. Right now, they have a missionary school over there. They're training them how to do a good vegan food, not vegetarian, not dairy products, no cheese, no meat. Oh, and they were so happy to feed us with the special meat, with the special food, which is amazing. We've really been blessed in the afternoon, and we had a nice fellowship. On Sunday, they took us outside and showed us the main square right in Brussels, right over there in the main square where every single summer, right in this location, they have a parade of roses. Whole square was full of roses. And they showed us this beautiful place. And I'm standing here with my relatives and friends. Actually, my brother Paul, he used to live over there for 5 years. He was actually used to live over there in the French territory. My brother, he is talking right now in Dutch language, Holland. They easily understand each other over there in Holland, Dutch language. It's amazing how to, kind of, when you're watching those people over there in Belgium, how they can easily talk several languages. French, Italian, Dutch, and after that, English. It's just so amazing. Oh, because everything is so close, they took us to the border from French to England. I visited my oldest brother. Marina said, let me visit my brother too, who lives in England. Her brother graduated from Oxford University and now is working in media production, but he's a Seventh-day Adventist and responsible for the youth ministry in his church. And he actually invited his girlfriend into the Bible studies. They studied together. She got baptized and they got married. Now they have a baby. And actually, this is what we enjoyed in England, in London. And my wife was happy to see her oldest brother. Actually, he's a younger brother. But so far, we had a wonderful trip. And the same night, we came back again to Rome, Italy. And as we arrived to Rome, Italy, we enjoyed our time to see what everything in Rome, where you will look to the left or to the right, oh, full of rich, rich history. In Italy, everything is a rich, rich history. Everywhere. We look and enjoyed our time there, because the same night, they immediately took us to that one of their special fountain, which is called Trevi Fountain, Fountain of Love. Oh, have you been there? No, you need to travel and see that Fountain of Love once in a while. But so far, I should tell you, if you will throw some coins over there, they believe within a couple of years, you will come back and visit that fountain again. We threw some coins, and we were not sure if we will go or not, but we will see. Beautiful locations, beautiful place. Yes, early in the morning, 6 o'clock, wake up, let's go all together as a group. 50 people, 54 actually, 22 pastors from Hawaii. And now maybe you can see right behind me over there, Taj. In front of me, Pastor Luis from Kona. And we were in actual Coliseum, walking right early in the morning. And as we wandering and enjoying our places there, we simply amazed how much history behind every of those places. And simply amazing to look at those ruins and remember what it used to be in the past and what is still right now existing in our days. And even among those ruins, it's amazing to watch the presence of God. Kindness and goodness is still existing there. Did you notice those doves? Yeah, they were kissing. And now they were so close to each other, showing to you and me what God is present there. He remembers. He remembers all those people who suffered and died on those places. Today, I wanted for you to pay attention to the scripture, because the word Italy appears in the Bible easily at least four times. One, it's in Acts chapter 18. The next text is in chapter 27, verse 1, and in Acts 27, verse 6, in Hebrew chapter 13, verse 24. On all those places, the word Italy appears in the Bible quite clear. The Apostle Paul or some others are directly, like Luke, for example, telling us about what they went to Italy, they've been to Rome, they were working over there. Italian Union of the Seventh-day Adventist Churches contains 109 churches altogether. Members, 9,000 in the books, as they told me, in the books. In the reality, a little bit less. Although population is 61 million, almost 62. For 62 almost millions, we have only about 9,070 Adventists. I should tell you honestly, they live in a country which they consider publicly official religious freedom. But in reality, up to 95, almost up to 98%, most of the people consider themselves the Roman Catholics. And it's really hard for the Seventh-day Adventist members to convince and show to them the actual bigger truth right from the pages of the Bible. And they are working hard over there. But the actual membership rate here, it's about like almost 7,000. Per 7,000, almost one Seventh-day Adventist. If we will consider that to Hawaii, how big is the population in Hawaii? 1,200 approximately? And we have around 6,000 Seventh-day Adventists? It means in Italy, it's supposed to be at least not 9,000, but much, much more over there. Many, many more Christians supposed to be over there. And actually, although because of the not religious freedom, because they influenced by the Roman Catholic Church, they cannot really spread the gospel around so easily and quick. We even went to the north of Italy and visited place of Waldenses. This is one of my future sermons is going to be to all of you, where Sister White visited Waldenses. She had a wonderful time with them. She shared with them a good news about how their Waldenses, the pioneers, kept the Sabbath and the Ten Commandments. Unfortunately, when they joined the majority of the Christian churches in 1500s, they lost their first faith, unfortunately. We will talk about this more, but today I would like to invite you to visit Memartin Prison. Let us pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, as we will go into the Memartin Prison, as we will study your word today, guide, direct, and bless us by your holy guidance. We are praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever heard about Memartin Prison? Let me tell you a little bit more. Memartin Prison, it's a place where we had the privilege from the Hawaii Conference, 22 pastors, and many other pastors from the mainland and even from overseas, from Korea and other places around the world. They joined us. They allowed for us to use the big bus. An actual bus driver, he never liked it when we are saying bus. He always wanted for us to say coach. So it's a difference between the bus and a coach. Bus is a public transportation. You're paying pennies over there. Actually, the transportation quite cheap over there in Italy, public transportation. We use metros and whatever. It's quite cheap. But in the reality, Because they're using euros over there, it's still quite reasonable. But we had a privilege to be right in downtown, and our hotel was so close to that Memartin prison. They took us right there and wanted to share with us a lesson. In this Memartin prison, as we entered in, we learned what near the hub of the Roman Forum, not far from the actual Senate, is an old prison which is called Memartin prison. Many famous ancient, mostly political captives spent their sentences here. Of the most interest to us is what this is the site of the last imprisonment of both apostles, Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul. We entered in. And it's always kind of amazed, personally for me, why they're always comparing Peter and Paul together. It's not exactly clear we can observe this in the New Testament books, yes? But Peter actually was not exactly was working in Rome. He was close to Rome, but not exactly was working there. But although the tradition, it says what they worked together and they were in prison in even the same location. Every day where you will go and see the places, they always put in their replicas, images, Paul and Peter together. It was quite a lesson I learned. And we asked our professor, he said, study more, and we will discover even more what the Bible is telling us and the spirit of prophecy. He is upon his arrival at Rome. Whose arrival? Apostle Paul. Paul was placed in a gloomy dungeon where to remain until his course should be finished. Accused of instigating one of the basest and most terrible of crimes against the city and the nation, he was the object of universal execration. Never had the apostle needed the ministerians of his brethren as now, enfeebled as he was by age, toil, and infirmities, and confined in the dark walls of the Roman prison. He was sitting right here. Now we're entering into the first floor, and that's prison. The dark, gloomy place. I used the flashlight to make it more lighter. And in reality, it says even in the plaque right there behind, it says if you could see slightly over there, Pietro and Paolo. Can you see the words? Pietro and Paolo. This is the place where he used to see us. They believe that according to the tradition, this is the only place, and that prison is still existing until today. Nobody replaced it. Nobody moved out of that space. And this is what we are watching and observing right here. It's amazing to notice and see what right from this place, from this table, from this location, Paul was writing to us the book of Colossians, the book of Philemon, Ephesians, and Philippines. And while we are reading the book of Philippines today, where he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4:4, yes? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. So often we are not paying attention from what location, from what place he's writing such an important words. And right there, he's writing the Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Right from this location. Let me show you a little bit more. Right here. This is the actual floor where you're just entering in into the prison. This is the top where all the soldiers are stood around. And this is the hole. You're looking at the hole right now. That hole was the place that Paul was located because we went down underneath. In the previous slide, I was showing you how he was underneath sitting there. But this is the only entryway from the top hole. All the food, all the water came from the top in that hole into the dungeon inside. No way out. And Paul was sitting, according to our professor, what he told us, up to 2 years. In that hole. Beside this, one of the ladies I remember, she asked me, Pastor, how we can prove what Paul was really in prison? Did he ever mention anything about prison? I said, yes, sister, let's read more together. And it's exactly where he's writing to the Colossians, 1:24. Now I rejoice in these things suffered in your behalf, and I am completing of my flesh the things lacking of the tribulations of Christ for the sake of his body, which is church. In the next passage, Colossians 4, verse 10, Articrus, my fellow prisoner, send you his greetings. In Colossians 4, 18, this greeting is my own handwriting, Paul's. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be to you. He followed in Philemon. We have only one chapter, 25 verses. And right there, he's several times mentioning about what he's prisoner. I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow worker. Philemon verse 9, for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, an old man, but now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And in verse 23, he's writing these words. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner, send you his greetings. And in the fourth epistle, he's writing to the Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And after that, in chapter 4, verse 1, he's saying, I urge you, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, to live in the manner worthy of the calling which you were called. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak it boldly as I must. This is what he was writing from this prison Mamertines. Beside this, he wrote to us the book of Philippians. Now I want you to know, brethren, what the things that happened to me have rather furthered the achievement of the gospel, so that my imprisonment has become known in the whole palace guard and to everyone else, and most of the brothers, having put their trust in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have even more courage to speak the word fearlessly. In our days, when you visit this locations, you will be simply amazed how everything changed over the years. It used to be when Paul was persecuted, where he suffered for so long in prison. But now, slightly at another street, they built a sepulcher, church for the Paul's sepulcher, for the Paul's actual body. And now I'm standing in this church, thinking about the reality, what Paul wrote to all of us in the 13 epistles in the New Testament. The privilege over there to pray in this church for you, my dear folks, and for all of us, how we really need to pay attention to the imprisonment of Paul and to his chains. Right now, it's a museum. You can check and see those chains. Our professor told us we are not sure exactly it was Paul's chains, but on those days, they used the same kind of chains. And we can see how even he was beheaded. It was like an actual replica right in the door as you're entering that place. Paul was beheaded. Let me tell you a little bit more. You know, Paul was a Roman citizen, yes? Roman citizen. Even he was a Jew, but he was a Roman citizen. Roman citizens had a privilege. Privilege in case if they will imprison you, you will simply lose your head. Quick. Very quick. But if you are not a Roman citizen, we will take you to Colosseum and wild animals is going to work with you. But he was a Roman citizen. And he simply lost his head so quickly. And now he has this Arphagus, his actual tomb is right there. Pauli, this is the entryway. This is the place for Paul's grave. Oh, people admiring and they are walking in and they are worshiping right now his bones. I'm sorry, let us read Bible more diligently and carefully. Because Paul is resting in peace until Jesus will come. Yes? Amen to this. But as we entering into this church, it's amazing what I found out. It's so beautiful inside. Let me play a little bit for you here. My wife took this Well, they were wondering how beautiful they put everything in gold. Could you compare simply where he used to be in prison, where he was sitting in a dungeon, and now people are, and this is exactly his tomb right here. And everything covered with gold and beauty. Amazing. Even they put all the 12 apostles over there. How they were all suffered for the Lord's sake. But right now, this is what Paul is writing to Timothy in his letter. He's saying, this is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced what he is able to guard, what I have entrusted to him until that day. What day he's talking about? He's a faithful Seventh-day Adventist. He's waiting for the Jesus' second return. And he's saying, what you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. He's writing to Timothy right now. And he's telling him to stay in a good accord with the Lord. And now he's continued with his passage here. Guard the good deposit, what was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And he is appealing to you and me today. You know what everyone is in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phagellus and Hermogenes. Those two people from Asia, they deserted him. How did it happen? We asked our professor once again, because he was teaching us, the whole group, and he said, maybe what we know, according to what happened right there, we know what those two people, maybe as Paul was invited to the court and judged by the actual Caesar on those days. And actually, as he was judged right there, we have no idea why they were deserted Paul. But you see, he's not paying enough attention to two of them only. He continued here with the passage. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesimus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. He's switching the topic here as we will read in this passage. So often we're not even paying enough attention to these words which he is saying to all of us here. On the contrary, he said, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord guard what he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Then Paul was thinking about everything what was happening upon him, with him, while he was in Rome. He lifted up his eyes and he prayed to the Lord, and he put everything in a written format for us, for the people 2,000 years later, to read about these people. To read about this Phagellus and Hermogenes. Because he was saying, they were deserted me. They left me when I really, really, really needed them. Sister White is saying to all of us, never had the apostle needed the ministerian's hands of his brethren as now. And at that moment, then he really needed that support and help and the presence that left him. You remember what happened to Jesus when Jesus was suffering, when Jesus was going through such a pressure on the final moment of his life? All his disciples, they deserted him and they left Jesus. Paul was going through the similar experience than Jesus was. And now he's writing to Timothy, his student, and he's telling him, Brother Timothy, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the Lord and his testimony. Because on those days, what was the, if you will just simply accept the reality, what you are the Christian and you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way for you, if you're not a Roman citizen, I will use the only way, Colosseum. Yes, we took the pictures there. We were smiling. Some people are even proposing to each other there. Beside this, they have a weddings over there, all over. Huge, big place. But the rich history is really covered with blood. Many, many faithful Christians died right in this beautiful place. And Timothy, you know what, everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. Even these two fellow brethren. But you know, they deserted me when he was standing maybe at the court. And at the court of Nero the Caesar. And maybe Nero the Caesar questioned them directly. Are you the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you the one who following the Apostle Paul? He's Paul, he's Christ follower. Oh, and at that moment, the professor said, maybe they agreed what they wanted to still stay alive. Who knows? Although they deserted Paul and he left alone. Now he's encouraging Timothy. But may the Lord show mercy to this household of the Onesiphorus. Who is that man with the name of household of Onesiphorus? Who is that Onesiphorus right here according to this text? Household. It's quite interesting to notice what, if we are talking about household, it means he was not simply a poor man, but he has a household. It means slaves, children, house, family, and business. It means he got acquainted with the Christian religion. He got acquainted with Paul. And he got so happy to follow Paul. And now, while Paul is telling us how he really made an influence on Onesiphorus and on his house, everything is happening in Asia Minor, in the city of Ephesus. Right here, in Ephesus, when he converted him, and he enjoyed the fellowship with all the faithful believers. Because for Paul, it was his heart of the ministry. And those other two fellows, they were from the same location too, but they deserted him. And this is why Paul is so discouraged and so unhappy. Well, he's saying, you know what, Onesiphorus, he came to me, he served me, he helped me, he really encouraged me, he assisted me while I was in Rome. Besides this, we need to remember what Paul was imprisoned 2 times in Rome. 2 times. First time. He was imprisoned in a private house, and he was experiencing the home arrest. People still had the opportunity to visit him, talk to Paul, and leave him. He was in a home arrest. Few years later, he went to Asia Minor. He worked hard over there, converted many Christians, brought them to Jesus, and from Asia Minor, he went back to Rome. And while he was in Rome, Onesiphorus, he was searching for Paul. He was searching. And he even went to the official locations, official places. And he went and searched about Paul. Where is Paul right now? I'm searching for Paul. I really would like to find him. What I'm showing you on that picture over here, this is the official place that the government made the final course, the final decisions. And according to the tradition here, according to what the Bible is telling us, what he was searched so hard, and I'm sure according to what our professor told us, Onesiphorus, he found diligently and even went to the palace of Nero and asked them over there, anybody knows where can I find the Paul, the prisoner? I'm searching for Paul, the prisoner. And you know, all the soldiers told him, shh, don't talk about Paul. Don't talk about Saul. We know him. He's a Christian. If you will say that word out loud, you will be in prison too. Don't talk about him. But Onesiphorus, he was still not afraid of Paul's chains. He was searching diligently until he approached the guard and talked to the guards over there and asked the guard, where is Paul? Let me find Paul. And when the guard told him, oh, if you'll give me a little bit, okay, Onesiphorus, because he was a merchant, he was a businessman, he took out of his pocket a nice gold, maybe, and gave it to the soldier, and said, show me where Paul is. And they led him into the Mamertine prison, to that hole, to see Paul right there. And he came, and he visited Paul. And he went into that hole, and he talked to Paul. He assisted Paul. He nourished him. He supported him. They prayed together. Because the last time when Paul was in Asia, as he converted all the believers over there in Asia Minor, this is their final moment as Paul left their place. They all stood by the shore. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept and they all embraced him and kissed Paul. What grieved them most was his statement, what they will never see his face again when they accompanied him to the ship. And since that morning, that moment, Onesiphorus, he was searching for Paul. He wanted to see his face again. And he found him. And he prayed with him. And he pleaded with him. May the Lord show mercy to his household, Paul is writing. On the contrary, when I was in Rome, he searched hard until he found me. Under the persecution, under the influence of fear to be completely destroyed, he was simply searching and searching and searching until he found him. What really happened right there? Because we know what Onesiphorus, he was actually the rich man. He brought maybe some pens and paper or some papyrus to Paul to write for us these gospels which we have in our days. Because he was faithful. He wanted for the gospel to spread around the world. He wanted for all the believers to hear from Paul the good news. Oh, may the Lord show mercy to this household of Onesimus. Because he often refreshed me with goodies, with bread, with water, with good stuff. Oh, how we really need to do our best to continue and to practice prison ministry in our churches. How we really need to reach those who are unreached and bring them to the Lord. This is the loud cry for all of us from the gospel. Onesiphorus, he was one of the examples how we really need to search and search and search diligently. Because it's happened to be, maybe it's happened in such a way when the Praetorian Guard heard about the Onesiphorus and his diligent work, how he is visiting Paul. And while he was a Praetorian Guard, he heard from the other slave guards over there, yes, he's diligently visiting Paul. And he found out what he is a rich man. You know, on those days, if you will convince the guards and the actual court what this man is a Christian, they simply killed Christians on those days. And whatever you have, all your household, simply transferred to the man who captured you. And that particular guard, Praetorian Guard, and about him, particularly our professor, was talking for hours and hours. And this is how made a huge impact on me personally, in my life, how we're never paying attention to some of those names in the Bible, how they were rich of history right there. And it's exactly what happened when that guard heard about Onesiphorus and his ministry. He decided, I will look at him and see how we will come again to the Paul's prison. And I will simply place him at the court and question him. But because he was not from Rome and he was not a Roman citizen, he was from Asia Minor and he was from that area from Asia, what do you think happened to Onesiphorus? They captured him. They took him out. And the only exit he had is to be an arena of Colosseum. He stood in front of the 50,000 people. Oh, people were crying. People were waiting for their blood, which they were really searching and expecting over there. Many days later, Paul was waiting and waiting and waiting for Onesiphorus to come again. But nobody showed up. Maybe Luke, maybe somebody else, shared with Paul. No, Onesiphorus, he got killed because he was a faithful Christian. And this is why Paul is writing to all of us right here from this dark dungeon. He's writing for us the message where he's saying these special words. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because Onesiphorus is dead. He was faithful until the last moment. Because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Can you see it right now in the past tense? Everything is so clear. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant what he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. What day he's talking about? He's talking about a second resurrection. He's talking about a final resurrection, a special one, in a time when Jesus will come with his holy angels. And he said, may the Lord give him mercy, and Onesimus will find mercy. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Since those days, we can see a good illustration here, an example, what I personally really would like to see Onesimus and shake his hand. I really would like to shake the hands of Paul and Peter. I really would like to pray with all of those believers to be faithful until the final day when the Lord will come. So often in our days when we have so much, we have Bibles all over around in our tables and in our homes, and so often we are not paying attention because the Bible is covered with dust. And in our days there is no excuse for us when we are talking about the gospel. I remember about like 30 years ago, my mom, when we used to live in the south of Russia, were telling us, your kids, what someday the Lord will spread his gospel around the whole world. Mom, what are you talking about? We are a small group of the Seventh-day Adventists. And in the whole world, we have more than 6 billion people. How we can spread the gospel around the world? Who is going to do this? But in our days, I can easily see the fulfillment of the prophecy, which we can easily see in the Bible. What before Jesus will come back, his gospel will be spread all over around the world instantly in the moment. While we were over there in Europe, every single night when we only had a Wi-Fi or internet service, we easily reached our children and we talked with them over Skype. Easily. Besides this, I could tell you over there in Europe, everybody's using cell phones from United States, certainly. Yes, great cell phones. Every one of them has the Bibles there. And the cell phones. Beside this, we have Sabbath school lessons and the cell phones. Beside this, right in the cell phones, all over around the world, we have the good message, which is spread instantly and so quick through the internet, through the computer system, everything. What do you think that wisdom which people received over here in America to produce all this equipment and technique came from whom? All the wisdom is coming from the Lord. And this is why God wanted to spread this gospel all over around the world, to cover all those 6 billion, almost 7 billion around the world right now, so instantly and quick with the beautiful message what he is coming back to take us home. You know, if Jesus would like to take you back home and me, what should we do? We should never, never be ashamed of the good gospel. We should never be afraid to pray publicly. We should never be afraid to say, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, because I believe what the seventh day is helping me to focus on my Creator and on my Redeemer. I believe what Jesus will come to save all of us. It's going to be such a special moment in our life. This is why Paul is writing to Timothy in verse 12, chapter 1. This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet, this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed. Now it's time for us to prepare ourselves for the closing hymn. As we will sing this closing hymn, I wanted for you to pay attention to every single word in that hymn, because this is what Paul is saying. Yes, I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, for I'm convinced what he is able to guard, what I have entrusted to him until that day. Right here in this prison, Paul wrote to all of us, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Philemon, and he wrote Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let us stand together as we will sing our closing hymn. I know whom I have believed.